Let's read together Jeremiah chapter 39. In this chapter, we have the record of the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians. We also have the account of what happened to King Zedekiah, as well as what happened to Jeremiah. Let's begin by reading the first three verses of the chapter. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and besieged it. In the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the city was penetrated. Then all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. And now, at the end of verse 3, you have six Babylonian princes or officials listed. Let's begin our study of Jeremiah chapter 39 with some background notes. We've mentioned before that Jeremiah is a hard book to outline thematically or chronologically. However, one way is as follows. Chapters 1 through 39 have to do with prophecies before the fall of Jerusalem, and chapters 40 through 52 have to do with prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, there are some exceptions to this two-part outline, but in general, it's a good mini-outline for the book of Jeremiah. In any case, Jeremiah chapter 39 is a turning point in the book of Jeremiah, because here we have the record of the fall of Jerusalem, which Jeremiah had predicted would definitely come to pass. Now, putting the chronological data of verses 1 and 2 together, we see that the siege of Jerusalem lasted for 18 months. We know from the book of Lamentations that conditions in Jerusalem were horrible during the siege. Some of the people even practiced cannibalism in order to survive. The wall of Jerusalem was breached by the Babylonians in 586 BC. We see in verse 2 that it was on the ninth day of Av, the fourth month. Did you know that it was on the same day of the same month, the ninth of Av, that the Romans conquered Jerusalem in 70 AD? The middle gate of verse 3 was probably a gate in the center of Jerusalem, and the Babylonian officials used it as their new headquarters for decisions concerning the captives. This is a direct fulfillment of the prophecy that Jeremiah made in chapter 21 and verse 4. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points for Jeremiah chapter 39. Doctrine point number 1, the fall of Jerusalem was recorded. The fall of Jerusalem was recorded. The fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC was a major event in Old Testament history from God's perspective. In fact, the Lord made sure it was recorded four times in the Old Testament, here in Jeremiah chapter 39 and in three other scriptures. You can read these other accounts in Jeremiah chapter 52, 2 Kings chapter 25, and Ezekiel chapter 24. Let's read some of these verses. I'm reading from Jeremiah chapter 52, beginning with verse 4. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, and they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the fourth month, on the ninth day of the month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. You can read the rest of the account in Jeremiah 52. And from 2 Kings, chapter 25, then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night by way of the gate between the two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city. And the king went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. And in the fifth month, on the seventh day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great, he burned with fire. You can read the rest of the account in 2 Kings 25. And from Ezekiel chapter 24, the first two verses of the chapter. again in the ninth year, in the tenth month, on the tenth day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me saying, Son of man, write down the name of the day. This very day, the king of Babylon started his siege against Jerusalem this very day. From Ezekiel chapter 24, verses 1 and 2. Now let me ask you a question. Why did God consider this event, the fall of Jerusalem, so significant that he had it recorded four times in Scripture? I can think of three reasons. Number one, this was the fulfillment of God's sure word of prophecy. God meant what he said. Both Ezekiel in Babylon and Jeremiah in Jerusalem belabored the fact that because of Judah's sin, that Babylonians would come and would conquer Jerusalem. The beautiful temple would be destroyed, the people would be taken away as captives, and the nation with her kings would come to an end. It happened because God's word is sure. Number two, this was the beginning of the times of the Gentiles. In Luke chapter 21 and verse 24, the Lord Jesus said that Jerusalem would be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles were fulfilled. The times of the Gentiles will not be completely fulfilled until the Lord returns. No so-called human peace solution will end the time of the Gentiles. The time of the Gentiles and Jerusalem's problems will only end when the Lord returns. But now, when did the times of the Gentiles begin? We believe right here in 586 BC, when Jerusalem was conquered by the Babylonians. In terms of the prophecy of Daniel chapter 2, Babylon was the head of gold in the statue representing the times of the Gentiles. Number three, a third reason why the fall of Jerusalem in 586 BC is significant is that there are prophetic implications in this historic fall of Jerusalem. We read in the prophetic scriptures that in the future, there will be a great tribulation on this earth, and during that time, once again, Jerusalem will be under siege. In Zechariah chapter 14, we read that all nations will be gathered against Jerusalem, and the city will be conquered, and many people will be taken as captives. And then comes the return of the Lord. So there are some good reasons why the fall of Jerusalem was recorded. Doctrinal point number two. The fate of Zedekiah was realized. The fate of Zedekiah was realized. Verses 4 through 10. So it was when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, and all the men of war saw them, that they fled and went out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, by the gate between the two walls. And he went out by way of the plain, or Arabah. But the Chaldean army pursued them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had captured him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he pronounced judgment on him. Then the king of Babylon killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes in Riblah. The king of Babylon also killed all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with bronze fetters to carry him off to Babylon. And the Chaldeans burned the king's house and the houses of the people with fire and broke down the walls of Jerusalem. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive to Babylon the remnant of the people who remained in the city, and those who defected to him with the rest of the people who remained. But Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, left in the land of Judah the poor people who had nothing and gave them vineyards and fields at the same time. King Zedekiah and his nobles and his army tried to escape Jerusalem down the Kidron Valley to the Arabah, but they were captured by the Babylonians on the plains of Jericho before they were able to cross the Jordan River. Zedekiah was taken as captive to Nebuchadnezzar at Riblah, the military headquarters for the Babylonians north of Damascus. There, Zedekiah's nobles and sons were killed before his eyes, and there Zedekiah was blinded and taken as a prisoner to Babylon, where he died. Now, Ezekiel's prophecy was fulfilled, which said that Zedekiah would be taken as a captive to Babylon, but he would never see Babylon. I'm reading Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 13. I will also spread my net over him, that is, King Zedekiah, and he shall be caught in my snare. I will bring him to Babylon, to the land of the Chaldeans, yet he shall not see it. though he shall die there. Ezekiel chapter 12 and verse 13. Such was the fate of King Zedekiah because of his failure to trust the Lord. The fate of Zedekiah was realized. And doctrinal point number three, the faith of Ebed-Melech was rewarded. The faith of Ebed-Melech was rewarded. Verses 11 through 18. Now Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, gave charge concerning Jeremiah to Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, saying, take him and look after him and do him no harm, but do to him just as he says to you. So Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, sent Nebushashban, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, and all the king of Babylon's chief officials. Then they sent someone to take Jeremiah from the court of the prison and committed him to Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, that he should take him home. So he dwelt among the people. Meanwhile, the word of the Lord had come to Jeremiah while he was shut up in the court of the prison, saying, go and speak to Ebed-Melech, the Ethiopian, saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring my words upon this city for adversity and not for good, and they shall be performed in that day before you. But I will deliver you in that day, says the Lord, and you shall not be given into the hand of the men of whom you are afraid, for I will surely deliver you, and you shall not fall by the sword, but your life shall be as a prize to you, because you have put your trust in me, says the Lord. Remember in chapter 38, we saw the kindness and compassion that Ebed-Melech showed Jeremiah. With courage and at some risk to his own life, Ebed-Melech pleaded for Jeremiah's life before the king and rescued Jeremiah from the miry cistern where Jeremiah was in prison. Now Ebed-Melech is rewarded for his courageous faith. He would not be killed or taken as a captive to Babylon. Now I think in the prophetic implications of this chapter, with Ebed-Melech the Ethiopian, we have a prophetic glimpse of the faithful Gentiles of the end time who will care for the godly remnant of Jewish believers at that time. In the judgment of the sheep and the goats in Matthew chapter 25, the sheep of the Gentile nations are rewarded by the Lord for their faith as demonstrated in their compassionate treatment of the godly remnant of Jewish believers during the tribulation period. Read Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 40 in this connection. The faith of Ebed-Melech was rewarded. Now, what about practical application for Jeremiah chapter 39? Don't be lukewarm like King Zedekiah. Don't be lukewarm like King Zedekiah. In Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16, the Lord said to the apathetic church of Laodicea that they were lukewarm. King Zedekiah was a lot like the church of Laodicea, neither hot nor cold. It wasn't that King Zedekiah rejected God, but he lacked the faith and courage to do the right thing. Sometimes he listened to reason, but normally he was spineless, as the blind church of Laodicea paid for their apathetic state of being neither hot nor cold, so King Zedekiah paid a terrible price for his being lukewarm. Don't be lukewarm like King Zedekiah.